Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, beautiful Bakersfield. This is Colette from Total Health, and I am so happy to be back. It's been a while since I was here with you. I just want to say that God has been good to me, and I hope that God has been good to you. Total Health is actually going to be celebrating a birthday soon, March 15th, and I would have been on the air for 1 year. I just want to say, you know, that oftentimes, I should say 2 years, not 1 year, 2 years. Oftentimes we forget what God has done for us. We just have those kind of memories that don't hold on to things. We let it go. We hold on to things we shouldn't hold on to and let go of the things that we should hold on, that we should not let go of. You know, oftentimes as we're looking for information and all the different sites for information, some of it is true, some of it is false. I want to give you a little bit of information today in the Black History Corner. This is Black History Month. So many may know, or many may not know, that the original Statue of Liberty was a black woman holding up the torch of freedom. Because of everything that the blacks had gone through, the French felt that it was the most fitting tribute to the new nation. But we know that the people at that time did not look black. So they rejected it. And the Statue of Liberty that you see today is their representation of themselves. And something that many people may not know, the original Statue of Liberty had chains on her ankles, representing slavery. The new Statue of Liberty also has chains at the bottom of her feet, where the original one had chains. So we must say that even though people try to hide things, things still come to light. Well, today we're going to be talking about renewal. It is a very important subject because at one time or another, all of us get tired. We get tired of the life we're living. We get tired of the people that we're dealing with. We get tired. And the thing is, how do we jumpstart our lives into being not so much prosperous, but being fulfilled? All of us have a purpose in this life. All of us. Many of us, the majority of us, never fulfill our purpose in this life. Just imagine if all of us were to fulfill our purpose in this life. What kind of world we would be living in? So often we see different things and we try to figure out, why is this happening? Why is that happening? And we realize that many of the problems that we suffer from or happen to us are our fault, based on decisions that we made when we thought that. So we made these decisions probably in a moment where we thought that we would not have to suffer the repercussions for this decision. But one thing I always try to tell young people is that, and anyone, the sins of your youth will visit you when you're older, in your adulthood. And you never know in what form they may come. They may come with illness. They may come with having the wrong type of mentality. It could come where you lose your mind. You never know. So be careful what you do. Be careful of your decisions that you make, because you do not want to be the person that has to suffer from something that they did way back when. Renewal, coming back to renewal, new growth, a different perspective on your life. How do you jumpstart a life? How do you jumpstart a person who feels that they are maybe in the doldrums, who feels that they are not making it, they're not doing what they want to do with their life? How do you re-jumpstart or jumpstart that person's life? First of all, you have to admit that there's a problem. You have to. So many of us when we have issues within ourselves, try to hide and run away from the issues that we face, or even the issues that we never even talk about, things that we know that bother us, things that we do not like, things that we put up with that we really do not want to put up with. How do we tell the truth about ourselves without feeling that we are going to destroy ourselves? Because there is a miscellaneous thought process. Or I shouldn't even say thought process. There's a miscellaneous thought in many of our heads that telling the truth is going to destroy us. Yes, it may destroy the foundation of the lies, but that's always a good thing. That's not a bad thing. When we destroy that foundation, we can rebuild stronger and better. But because that process tends to be so painful and so mind-boggling, mind-bogglingly, I made up a word here, intense for us, many of us do not want to go through that process. I'm going to tell you a story about an eagle. When an eagle getting ready, or when an eagle has become too old, it goes through a process of renewal. And it's going to sound very, very painful, but this is what it does. It breaks its beak. It bangs it against the rock until it's all gone. And then it grows back a new beak. Then it plucks out all its feathers. Then it grows back new feathers. When that eagle comes back in its full glory from that renewal process that was very painful and very intense, it is a new eagle. It has regained the vigor of its youth. It no longer has trouble catching the fish, catching its prey. And I forgot one part. The beak also pulls out the talons, so the talons can come back strong as well. So I'm telling you, that to me sounds so very painful, but that oftentimes is what we need to jumpstart our lives. When we don't have that, what ends up happening is that we stay stagnant. We stay unhappy. We stay unsure of ourselves and our own position in this world. But we have to tell the truth. So the truth destroys the lies. The second thing that you have to do for renewal, after you admit that there's something wrong, you have to build afresh. You have to build on something that is solid. So what is solid in this world? Not too much. So what could it be possibly that we would need to build on? I would say God. He is the true rock of Gibraltar. He is the rock, the cornerstone, the true cornerstone. He is the one that if we build our lives on him, not only will we have change that is unimaginable, but we will also do things that are unimaginable. Because we are building on a solid foundation, a foundation that will not sift under us like sand or like gravel. So we build on this foundation. What do we need to do to build this foundation? We need some sort of cement. Cement is our spirituality. We must get closer to God in order to find out not only our purpose, but to keep us on the straight and narrow. It is very easy for us to forget things and to forget what we need to do. But when we are accountable to God, all of a sudden, things that we used to let go, we no longer let go. Example, or case in point. When you know that when you're exercising, that you and your buddy are going to be exercising, and your buddy is a diehard exercise guru, type of person. You know that he's not going to take just any kind of excuse for you not being ready to go and exercise. You are going to have to be with it. You are going to, he's going to hold you accountable. He's going to make sure that any of the excuses that you have that are not valid, he's going to throw them out of the window and still push you to continue to try and exercise. And because of his pushing, you yourself will start to develop that same discipline. It may not be as strong as his because he's been doing it for so much longer than you, but it will grow strong. That's why when we have Jesus in our lives, that we don't have to worry about the unknown. And the unknown is such a scary thing to most people. It is a scary, scary thing. It's things. It's something that they worry about. It's something that they fret about. It's something that scares them to their core because they don't know what's coming down the pike. But when you have that foundation in Jesus, you find out that worry gets thrown out the window because you trust in him to be able to get you ready for anything that's coming down that pike and to be with you during the situation or the circumstance that could shake you ordinarily. I had a friend, and his wife died, and he told me this himself. He said, I don't know how I made it through that funeral, but I can tell you, I never felt alone. I always felt like someone was there with me. I know now that it was God, but then, because I was in so much shock, I wasn't trying to think about why I was so calm. And that's what God does for you. He calms you down. He breaks it down. He not even so much breaks it down. He's there in your corner to such a degree that even when you go through something horrific like losing a spouse, you have that peace that passes understanding. That's what God does for you. Not only does he do that, but he also makes sure that as we go through our various trials and tribulations, that by the peace that we have, we can know ourselves we would not be that peaceful. But because God is there, that peace is there, that joy, that love, things that we of ourselves cannot give to a situation, things of ourselves that we feel go awry in certain situations. Example, case in point, I was going to the sandbox, which is a type of, it's like a post office, but you pay more, but it's very convenient because it's right around the corner. So I'm going trying to get into the sandbox, and there's a group of children. I don't even know what's wrong with these children these days, but anyway, that's another subject. And as I'm going in, a guy comes up behind me. He's running. He's not paying attention. Hits me from the back, and then I bump into the girl in front of me, and she turns around to me and says, what the F is your problem? Normally, I'm able to be very calm, but because I was a little agitated anyway, what came out was not very nice. I didn't swear at her, but I did call her an ignorant person and that she needed to get herself together and to stop talking back to adults and to get some respect. And the guy behind me, he said, sorry. And I said, you should be sorry. I wasn't even gracious. And I thought about it when I went in there. I said, God, what kind of witness was I today for you? I wasn't. I was terrible. Human beings will say, well, that's a normal reaction. But when we're in God and our foundation is in God, that is not a normal reaction. Our normal reaction should be that peace, that calm in the midst of the storm. So now that you have the concrete, you need the glue to keep it together. Well, concrete kind of keeps itself together, but you need something to mold it and to hold it. And that also is Jesus. Many times when the storms of life assail us and we don't know what to do with ourselves, who is there in the midst? It's Jesus. There's a poem called Footprints. And in the poem, the man asks, "Where were you, Lord? I saw two sets of footprints going everywhere, but in my worst time, I only saw one set of footprints." And Jesus replied, "That's when I carried you." Isn't that powerful? Isn't that something that we can hold on to, that we don't have to, of our own human strength, do anything but be a child of God? And because we are a child of God, we learn to have his character, because of ourselves, we don't have that character. So I think about this, and I get a little misty-eyed sometimes, because some of the times when I've had my worst trials and tribulations, I have felt all by myself, but yet I'm always crying out to God. I'm always crying out to him. So can I really be by myself if I'm really crying out to somebody else? No, you can't be. It's like a mother and her child. If the child is crying out for the mom because the mom, she doesn't see the mom, does that mean that the mom is not there? No. It just means the child can't see the mom. And that's oftentimes how it is with us. We don't see God's hand in it until after we go through the storm. But we have to get to the point when we are in the midst of a storm and we can still see God's hand. We have got to get to that point. Because then that's when we will have our true joy and our true peace. No matter what is going down in our lives, we will know that he is there, even though we don't see his hand. So now, Jesus is that glue that keeps everything together. What's another thing for renewal? We have got to try and work out a strategy to do something that either makes us happy or do something that allows us to find who we are. So maybe we need to take some personality tests. Maybe we need to find out what our gifts are. We need to shake things up. We need to do something different than we normally do. Because that's what renewal requires, is that things get shaken up so that they can settle in the right way. So maybe you decide, hey, I need to lose 10 pounds. Join Zumba. Maybe you want to do a yoga class. For me, I don't like the meditation thing, but yoga of itself is okay. Or you could do aerobics if you decide. And then on top of that, you need to change your diet. You can't be exercising and then having that same diet. Yes, you may see some progress, but the progress will not be as great as if your diet matches what you're trying to do physically. The other thing that you need to do is you're going to have to get your mind in the game. Many of us, I see it on the train when I go, we're just zoned out. We're not zoned into our lives. We're just kind of zoned out. We don't know really what we really want to do, and we feel that it's never going to happen. So we kind of zone out of our lives. We got to get back into the game. We got to get our minds back into the game. We need to see other people, know other people, do new things, try new things that we can find where we fit. And I'm telling you something, ask God to direct your path, and he will. And you'll be surprised the things that you will find out that you are made of and what you can do and what you like. And I notice a lot of times that things that I loved to do when I was younger, like I was a child, those are the same things now that I still like to do but I wasn't doing before for whatever reason. So here we are, you in your renewal process. We're finding our way back to ourselves and back to the self that God wants us to be. So now, what is the next step? The next step would be that, let's say we find out that we have perseverance. So, what is something that we're doing in our lives to show that we know how to persevere? What is something in our, what are we doing to increase that skill or to better that skill? Another thing is, let's say you find out that you like computers. Are you going to a computer class? Are you taking programming? What are you doing to better yourself? What are you doing to make sure that this skill set that you would like to have or that is dormant in you, that you want to come to life, what are you doing? I love foreign languages. So I've taken French, I've taken Spanish, I've taken Japanese. I'm learning Latin, and I'm learning Hebrew. And I, all I can say is that that because of this, it has made me be able to understand a lot of things that are going on in the world. Maybe, for instance, most law schools and medical schools use Latin. They go back to the Latin. And it's so nice when I'm hearing certain things and certain phrases, and I know what they're really trying to say. And all of a sudden, like a light bulb goes off in my head. I know what this means. I know what this is. Or I'm on the train or on the bus, and I hear somebody speaking in Spanish. It's like, my word, I'm understanding this. This is awesome. So you've got to start working on that skill. As you work on that skill, you will find out that there are other little skills in between there that you didn't even know about will help to enhance that one skill maybe that you're going for. And I notice also, too, that people who are very skillful, let's say, for instance, a person knows how to piano, play the piano well, a lot of times, if they put their mind to it, they could be an awesome singer, too, because they know how the notes go. So let's say you don't have that in your repertoire and you add that. Well, then maybe if you have those two skills, maybe you might want to be a composer as well. So all of a sudden, you see all these different little skills in between that you can do. You can tweak and make it work so that you have more of a skill set. So then for the renewal process, now you're doing new things. You're seeing new people. How do you maintain this? How do you maintain this? Sometimes it can be so hard to do that. Because we allow life to get in our way. We allow life to stop us from being us. We allow life to be the boss. We need to learn that we're the boss, and yes, things happen, but we are still the boss. And we need to take responsibility enough to know that we need to be accountable to ourselves to be better and to be the best us that we can be. I remember I was listening to, not listening, but I saw it written, Nelson Mandela, and he said, who are we to play small? We are great beyond measure. When we allow ourselves to shine, we allow others to also shine because they see the light in us. And this is something we need to remember. Stop playing small. Be happy to know that you are great and you're full of greatness. Just because you don't see it yet, don't think that it's not there. It is right around the corner if you continue to plug away and push at what you're doing and to get there. And it's not going to be easy. You're going to get a lot of setbacks. It has also said to me, a setback is a setup for a comeback. Hey, I like that. So if we remember that God never leaves us, never forsakes us. He's always there in the mix. And we can call on him at any time. And that he is that rock of Gibraltar, that cornerstone that we can count on at any time. He is more important to us, or should be, than our wives, our children, than our own ego, ambitions. Everything should be run by God. And when we do that, we will find ourselves able to do more and more, because the things that we used to take on before, that worry, that stress, that depression, all that stuff, we can lay at his feet and don't pick it back up again, because the load gets heavier. Believe you me when I say this. When you put something at the foot of the cross, keep it there. Don't leave it. Don't pick it back up, because if you leave it there, you will find yourself lighter. I saw a movie called Pilgrim's Progress, and when he had this burden on his shoulder, and nothing could take this burden off. But when he went to the foot of the cross, just the shadow of the foot of the cross, it fell right off his back. And he was renewed. And he never picked up that burden again. We need to be just like Pilgrim. We need to be just like Christian. And remember that we are on a pilgrim's progress journey. That a journey begins with the first step. If Noah or even Moses had not believed in God enough, Noah could not have preached for 120 years with people laughing at him and him not even knowing anything about rain and still building an ark. He couldn't have done that. Moses, with the Red Sea in front of him and the Egyptians behind him, if he didn't trust enough in God, he could not have taken that first step to go into the Red Sea. So we have to be bold for ourselves. We have to be bold for our children. We have to be bold to find our purpose in this life. That's the only way that renewal can be maintained. We have to keep on learning and growing. We cannot stay stagnant. And we have to have, like, something that lets us know, like a little beeper, like if you had a timer that lets us know, okay, you've been here too long. You need to go forward. We need to, in order to get that beeper or that timer in your mind, you need to be doing this all the time so that when you start to be a little stagnant, then you'll know that you need to step up the pace a little bit. So I thank you for listening. I thank you so very much for being on the show with me. May God bless and keep you. One thing before we go. Here's the recipe corner. I love avocados and I love tomatoes. Anybody who knows me knows I love to eat, but it has to be good food. And so here is a little recipe for you. You take an avocado, and, of course, you wash it. You wash the tomato as well. And then you peel off the skin. But as you're peeling it, someone taught me this, hold it in your hand and peel towards you in eight. So you get eight pieces. Take off the skin, and so you'll have eight pieces of an avocado, okay? Then you take the tomato, slice it. Take your bread, put it in the toaster, toast it, put some mayonnaise or nayonnaise on it, and you'll have the perfect sandwich. And this is Colette from Total Health, wishing you all a blessed day and a happy preparation day. Well, maybe I shouldn't say happy, but for me today, it's preparation day. And for those who may be not in so much in the same predicament, but who worship and believe in preparation day from on Friday, may their preparation day be awesome as well. Be blessed, every one of you.